All right, let's get in the Word, shall we? Would you please, with me, go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And I want to begin today. This is a two-parter within this series of the journey, or what I call the journey. I have been so impacted in my life, and particularly lately. And you know, when you do a lot of funerals, you realize how short it just always hits. It's kind of in your face how short this life is, and how temporary, and how we can be here, and then if we're born again, we can be home with the Lord.
Amen.
The next day. It can be that quick, that fast. And the abruptness can be startling at times. And so however you look at this, this journey of being born again and really walking with the Lord, because we forget, we're not cognizant or aware of the fact that we're not walking this through by ourselves. We're walking this through with Jesus, or He with us. It is a journey, but it's not an isolated journey. It's not where we're alone, or we're going to make mistakes, or we're going to have problems, and we're going to tackle everything by ourselves. It's not that way. It is a journey that has a purpose and a destiny, a real target for us, for our lives. And that is really to live on this path of righteousness. Now, we've been all made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been. We are that right now. No matter what's going on in your life, or what's happened, or how you feel, or maybe what you came out of, or what you might be in right now, if you're born again, those external things cannot, and this is kind of hard to wrap your brain around sometimes, cannot mess with your born-again spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can't take your salvation away from you. It can mess you up, and it can cause lots of consequences in your life. It can open the door for the devil and just beat the dickens out of you. But if you pursue, and this is for all of us, me too, if you pursue and learn to pursue righteousness is just doing the right thing God's way. It's following Jesus and doing it His way. When you pursue righteousness, all of us, and do what He wants, what His will is for us, what His desire is for us, there's blessing compounded to our lives. Now, when we walk this path of righteousness, we do it because we want to. We don't do it because we're compelled or we're obligated. Or when I was a kid, and we were part of it's a large denomination in this area. Well, I might as well just tell you, we were Catholic. And I was a little kid, and as long as we made it to church, we had fulfilled everything. Now, that's what I was taught. We'd fulfilled, we're good to go. You can live however you want to live, just make it to church. That was the obligation. It was required. Now, that's what I was taught. It was required that you be there. You do your 1 hour a week, and you've got it, man. You're done. Okay? Forget it and go on. Live the way you want to live. We don't live this way because we're obligated. We live righteously, doing the right thing because we want to, because we understand the basis of not only what Jesus did for us, we just celebrated with communion, but also what we've been given, and this full aspect, this full understanding of what salvation is and what God's grace to us is. And so the more we learn of Him and who He is, the more we understand His nature and His character and the reality of His grace and His love, and how big all these majestic, magnificent things are, what He's given us in all these ways, the more we want to fall in love with Him, follow Him, and do what He asks us to do. That's just it. That's walking this path of righteousness. And so within this path of righteousness are all kinds of facets. And that's what I've been trying to do, is break some of this down and deal with some of the areas that we don't typically teach about. You know, a couple of weeks ago it was, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Boy, that's not a rah-rah. What's rah-rah about that? Well, it's just the truth. It's just, yes, you're no longer under the law, you're under grace, and you get to be persecuted. Wow. Okay, what about today? We had a little sidebar last week, and today, this is called the path of forgiveness. The path of forgiveness. And we've touched on this at various times in this church, and this is going to take me 2 weeks to do this, because this really, and this is my hope. This is my hope and my heart for all of our church, is that this is why we're doing the classes that we teach and the evening classes. This is why we're doing it, because if we can grab a hold of this, I really mean this, I'm not just saying this, if we can grab a hold of this, this will change your heart and this will change your life. This will change how you perceive. This will change how you do, how you operate. This will change how you think. This will change how you address a situation. This will change how you deal with people. This will change how you feel about yourself. This will change how you feel about others. This will change everything. It will change your health. It will change your thinking. It will change your emotional stability. It will change you. That's why the path of forgiveness is on the path of righteousness. We don't always want to do it. We just don't. I know I haven't wanted to. What? No. And there's reasons why. And that's what I want to cover in these couple of weeks, these couple of messages on the journey. Because it is important on our journey, for however long or short it is, to get this for you. I know I've been getting it for me more and more. And I continue to get it. And I've been living this way for a long time. So that's my heart for you all. Mark chapter 11. If you would read this with me, please. Verses 25 and 26. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him or her, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses or your sins or your offenses that you have done. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, that sounds rather contradictory to what we teach according to the doctrine of grace, doesn't it? Because we know that our sins were eternally redeemed. This is in Hebrews. Jesus was the author of eternal redemption. Redemption is to be bought back, purchased from. Okay? Jesus forgave all of our sins, past, present, and future. That's a done deal. If you've received Jesus, then what's happened is all of your sins and all of my sins are paid for. So whether I forgive anybody or not, how does that fit with, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven? How does that work? I'm a little confused here, right? Anybody else been confused besides, it's okay, all right? That's the point of teaching. That's the point of teaching doctrine. Okay, and doctrine is teaching. All right, what Jesus is saying here, and I want to explain, I'm not going to belabor this a whole lot, but what I want you to understand is that Jesus is speaking to his disciples who are under the law, number one. Number two, what Jesus is saying is a truth, but the way that how this was translated, and I want to take us just momentarily through the Greek text. Verse 26 was not in there in most of the Greek text. Almost all of them. Okay? It is in the, I read the New King James, and many of us read the King James and New King James. It is in there. In that Greek text, it was in there. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. This verse 26 still lines up with the previous verse. just so you understand. All right? You don't take it and you don't throw it out. If you want to go back and you want to study all this out, you can. However, it all lines up together. Whenever you stand praying, what he says, whenever you stand worshiping the Lord, whenever you stand asking, interceding, blessing God, making a request, according to his will, and if you have anything against someone, now I know people that have gone through hours of preparatory time before they pray, seeking out, writing down, making logs of people that they've thought of in their lives, and I'm trying to remember everything, and going back and just graphically covering everything that they can think of before they pray. And trying to, by will, forgive them. That's not what this means. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him or her, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. When you stand praying, if the Holy Spirit brings to your mind somebody, at that particular time in your life, in your prayer, in this process, because forgiveness, you think forgiveness a lot of times is instantaneous. It's supposed to be instantaneous. And if you don't forgive instantaneously or automatically or immediately, you're condemned. You're feeling condemned because I just can't do it. Anybody agree with that? I felt that way. I don't get it, Lord. I'm having a hard time with this. Because forgiveness ultimately, almost always, is a process that we walk through. You see, God made our hearts. He made our hearts, right? Our God is a heart God. He understands our hearts. He made them. He understands what makes us tick. He understands how we work, what needs to work, how it works in us, how we perceive things, what we go through in our lives. He knows these things. And he knows that it isn't almost always instantaneous. When it comes to something that is attached to our heart, then it takes a process to walk through, to live through, to walk on. And it involves our will, it involves our decisions, our choices. And then the disengaging or re-engaging in different areas of our lives. It's all these things. So forgiveness and walking this path of forgiveness is a process for all of us. Almost all the time and every instant. Whenever you stand praying, you have a relationship with the Lord in some degree. If you have anything against anybody and the Holy Spirit who is in you and me brings somebody to your mind, just stop. Take a moment and forgive them. When you think about them and you see the picture of them flash in front of you, make a point to begin to forgive. Now, to forgive in the Greek means to let it go. Let them go. Release them. Make a point to begin this process, because that's what the Lord is taking you on. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Man, I'm born again. I'm spirit-filled. And I'm walking through this process, and I'm going to have to admit, Lord, I haven't forgiven everybody. And I'm not sure I want to. Do you know what they did? Do you know what they did to me? I'm not sure I want to. And there's a little bit of resistance there. Believe me, I understand this. And so, when the Lord said, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. When we begin to forgive, what we begin to do The way that this is written, I want to explain this, is as we forgive, what we begin to do, first of all, when we hold unforgiveness, we're off the path of righteousness. Do you understand what I mean? We're doing something ungodly, unrighteous. It is sin. And it only hurts us. Not hurting anybody else. It's not hurting God. It's not hurting any person. Not hurting the ones that we're angry with or upset with. It's just hurting us. So to paraphrase this whole aspect of verses 25 and 26, forgive to freedom. Forgive because what you're doing is you're allowing God to enter without violating your will and help you release those that have been hard to release. That's what you're doing. You're allowing him to work in you and in their life too. Now, I'm taking the context of a boatload of scriptures to bring this into kind of the synopsis. We continue to pay the penalty of unforgiveness and don't allow God to violate our will if we hold unforgiveness against others. God knows how hard this is. He's not holding unforgiveness against us. He is not. But we are. And we're making that work against us when we keep from forgiving. Okay? Is this clear as mud? Or is it clear? Please, I need to know from you how much time I spend on this. Is it clear? Yes? Can you shake your heads with me so I can see it? Okay. Is anybody not clear? See me after. Okay? Okay. Do you know that unforgiveness causes more physical issues, diseases, mental? I'm going to talk about mental illness. Causes depression. The kind of depression where you're medicated and you're stuck. It can cause the breakdown of so many areas of our physical body and life and mind, not to mention relationships, not to mention our relationship with the Lord. Unforgiveness is a horrible, horrible evil that we do to us. We do. That's why it's so important. If you're going to walk the path of righteousness, you're going to walk the path of forgiveness. I know many of you in here who have forgiven some horrible things, some terrible things that have happened to you in your lives, and you're products of that freedom. And your lives are going up and up and up. It is so important. All right. Again, this is the Lord working in our hearts. You see, God's forgiveness toward us is unconditional. God forgives everything. It's all done. Okay? But the rest is up to us. All right. Would you turn to or go to or flip to or click on Matthew chapter 21? Because I want to talk about this is his will for us. It's his will for us, but it's our choice. We can step in it, we can walk in his will and live in his will, or we can fight and kick against it. When we go with his will, it only helps us. It's only for us. It only provides fruit or blessing for us. But when we kick against it and you haven't dug your heels in where you're leaving furrows, I'm probably the only one. Thanks for that agreement. That is really rejecting God's will for us. Don't do that. His will is only for good, right? It's only for the best. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. I want to just point out the importance of his will. "But what do you think?" Jesus said. "A man had two sons or two daughters. And he came to the first and he said, 'Son or daughter, go to work today in my vineyard.' And he answered," the son said, "'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went. And then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I'll go, sir.' But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father or her father?" Obviously it was the one that went. Resisted at first and then went. Now when it comes to forgiveness, I want to make this really clear. This is God's will for us. It is for our benefit. It is for our good. This is operating in grace, and it is only by grace that we can walk this path of forgiveness. Grace is God's not only unmerited favor, it is his ability, his capability, his strength, his power in us to do what he's given us to do. But many resist the will of God in forgiving and walk in the path of righteousness. And so we get unrighteous and we have consequences. And again, when we don't forgive, it only hurts us. Amen? So it is imperative for our benefit to make the choice to go work in his vineyard, to do his will, to do what he asks us to do. It is for our good every time. Okay, now that the groundwork is laid about forgiveness, I want to talk about the vicious cycle that happens. And this is where I really want to get to. So I'm going to start this today, and we'll finish it up next week. The start of the vicious cycle. Would you turn or go to Luke 17? Luke chapter 17, the vicious cycle. You know, a cycle is something that is circular and keeps going, and it keeps going, it's perpetual. And vicious means hurtful, evil, nasty, mean, detrimental, harmful. There is a vicious cycle, and it's real. And this is what happens in our lives. When we enter this path of forgiveness and resist forgiving, and how it happens. Luke 17, verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, "It is impossible, it is impossible, impossible that no offenses should come." I'll stop there for a moment. We talk about offenses, and an offense is, in the Greek, it is a snare, a trap, or a stumbling block. Now, you all know what a stumbling block is, right? If I'm walking along out in the street and I'm texting on my phone and I'm reading the Facebook and stuff and I step in front of a curb and I trip over that curb and I fall flat on my face and I break a tooth and I get all scarred up and break my nose and scratch my head, right? I have just fallen into a stumbling block, been tripped up. And it has hurt me. Y'all got the picture? A snare or a trap. Rosie and I kind of live in a rural subdivision, and we have, I think, everything and its brother sends out signals to live underneath our deck. I mean, every critter, every... Rosie has logged the animals that I have live trapped and relocated. I mean, there's countless, it seems like. And so what I do is I set this live trap up and I bait it. And animals are real slaves to their appetites and to what they want. And a little bit of peanut butter cooks their goose. Now, an offense, if it's a stumbling block that causes us damage, hurt, and pain, or it's a trap, a snare that's baited for us that we willingly, like those animals, walk into. And it makes us a slave to offense. Offense, this stumbling block, this baited trap, is meant to draw you and me in. Now, we can live above it. We can live without going in or stumbling over. But what is crucial in our lives is staying on the path of forgiveness. And man, it is hard sometimes. It is impossible that no offense has come. Now, if you haven't been offended lately, don't worry. Don't sweat it, because it's coming. Guaranteed. I promise you. That's one of those promises. But woe to him through whom they do come. Now this, when Jesus said this, woe in the Greek means it's a grief. For someone to cause or actually perpetrate an offense. You all know Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Whatever anybody sows, this they reap. Now this is one of those, you know, we have New Testament laws, like the law of faith, right? The law of sowing and reaping. The law of, and I won't go on with this right now because it's a whole different message. Sowing and reaping is a law. If someone, and we're talking sows a lot of good, this is really how the seed works, which God has put all through the Word, the picture of the seed and how it works, it's something that we plant. And we do it on purpose. We plant seeds, and they produce good from our intent, our good intent, and our good works, and our good thoughts, and our good words, and that's planting seed, our giving, or whatever it is, whatever it might be. We're planting seed in the ground, good seed, and good comes back to us. That is a law. When we offend, and I'm not speaking about any of you, but when we offend, that person through whom the offense comes, there is that sowing, that's reaping also accompanies that. You see, what happens is, in this path of forgiveness, we can choose to accept an offense or reject it instantly when it comes. It is our choice. When it comes, here it is, it's in my face, and you all of a sudden, you instantly think, and you can accept or reject it. It is your choice at that time. If you can reject an offense instantly, you can bypass a lot of this stuff and learn to walk the path of forgiveness a lot more easily. If you accept the offense, it's going to be a little more difficult, but you'll still get there. Okay? The one who offends, and this is where I'm going to have to leave this today, the one who offends you or has been a stumbling block or baited a trap and drawn you in and has hurt you in some particular way, and you've accepted that, our tendency is to want to take responsibility. This is where the vicious cycle begins. We want to take responsibility, and we want to enter into somehow, some way, participating in an action against them. This is all happening in our heart. Most of the time, we don't even think about it. They are not our responsibility. They are God's. What they sow, what that person sows, that person reaps. What you sow, by not accepting it, you reap the benefits. All right? And just so we we're clear on this. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. Don't forget about this. God isn't mocked or made a fool of, for whatever anyone sows, they will reap. For they who sow to their flesh will reap of the flesh corruption. But they who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This path of forgiveness is sowing to the Spirit. This everlasting life is the life of God really working in us and for us. So remember, the one who offends you is not your responsibility to deal with. You never have to. Ever. I've got to wrap up. If you have been praying and somebody has come to your mind who you need to forgive, I'm going to ask you to be bold and stand with me, because I'm standing. If there's somebody that you need to forgive, would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Now, I'm talking about, you got to forgive God, because God needs forgiveness because we hold things against Him. Or your spouse, or your friend, or your co-worker, or your, yeah, whomever. You know, this wonderful thing about this church is that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. This is an act of humility for all of us. We all struggle in this area. Again, remember, this is a process. The reason that we begin and get on this vicious cycle is because the acceptance of an offense that causes us pain to forgive somebody, our heart gets attached to the pain. God is trying to help us get free. Amen? All right. Would you close your eyes? I'm going to pray. Would you agree with me? Father God, that person or persons that have hurt us, and where we have accepted the offense, where we have accepted the bait and stumbled, been hurting ourselves but not forgiving, in this today, in this process, Lord, that person, we see them in our mind right now. We hear what they said. We remember what they did. And we choose to begin the process of rejecting the offense, the sin against us. And in Jesus' name, say this with me. I reject that offense toward me. And I begin the process of willingly forgiving them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer team, come on up. You have started the process. Now, there's more. Please, I encourage you, come back next week. This is the path, not only to freedom, but to the change of your life forever. Father, in Jesus' name, I call our church, our people blessed beyond measure. healthy and whole mentally, emotionally, and physically in every area. I thank you, Lord, that we are not under the law, but under your grace. That you have supplied every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That we are ready, willing, and able to walk this process on the path of forgiveness within this path of righteousness. And we love you, Lord. We're willing to do your will for our lives. And we commit to you from this moment on. When offense comes, we will reject it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. I love you all very much. Praise God.